We're going to read together the account from Matthew's Gospel of Jesus' resurrection. Let's turn in our Bibles. If you've got your Bible there, I encourage you to open up with me to Matthew 28. I'll just encourage you, maybe you want to close your eyes and just imagine what it would have been like to be there. Maybe you want to just think as we read this passage about that crisp morning air that they might have been walking into. And just imagine the absolute shock, the amazing, wonderful shock it would have been. The Jesus was dead. They saw him crucified on a cross. And then we read about the events that happened. Verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. At that moment, they would have been so sad, so filled with grief. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Church, Jesus is alive. He's alive as much as he became alive again that day. He is alive still today. We know he ascended to the Father just days later, but he sent his Holy Spirit to fill us and empower us, and he is coming back. Jesus is alive. Let me just pray for a moment. Lord God, we thank you for these words. We thank you for your word that has been preserved for us to know what happened, the events of Easter, what actually happened when you gave your life upon the cross, when you rose again victorious. And God, I pray today that you would help each one of us, whether we've never been in church before or we come here every week. Lord, I pray today that we would know that you have come, that you defeated sin and death, that we might have hope in this life, but Lord, for eternity, that we might know your love, your forgiveness, your grace, your undeserved favor for us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're here on Good Friday, I asked the question, have you ever lost anything? This morning, I wonder if you've ever had to make an insurance claim. Maybe the thing you lost was actually stolen. I don't know. Has anyone ever had to make an insurance claim? There's a few people. Maybe you lost your car, or maybe you crashed your car, like I did. Maybe you had a water pipe burst in your kitchen or a bathroom, like we did one Saturday afternoon, and came home to find a sauna and a lot of water. Can I tell you that the details of an insurance policy suddenly become so interesting when you want to make a claim? Has anyone found that? Because with my personal experience, every time I go to make an insurance claim and I read the details, I suddenly find out, oh, not covered. It's really frustrating. I mean, as a teenager, I knew what third-party insurance meant. But that night that I was driving with Luke, and we're driving home from the beach on that gravel road, front-wheel drive car that I probably was still learning about what that meant, and gravel road, and the car in front of me said, they're flying. And I suddenly realized what third-party insurance really meant, that I was not covered. And I don't know if you know this, but your carpet, if you flood your house with boiling hot water, your carpet is only insured if you have contents insurance. If you have home insurance, it doesn't cover your carpet. Just a warning for you. If you're planning on flooding the carpet, just get contents first. Or maybe it's an encouragement to go and check your pipes. Make sure they're not rusty and about to burst. Anyway, I say all that for this reason. I think a lot of people treat Jesus, a lot of people treat church, a lot of people treat God like insurance. They think, God is love. He's my insurance. He's in my filing cabinet. I know where my insurance policy is. Like, God is love. He's there. I can call on him anytime I need him. He's filed away. I don't need to think about it. It's there. He's there. It's all good. I can do what I want and I'll pull it out when I need it and everything's going to be fine. And they never stop to think about what his call to us actually is. Maybe you have treated God a little bit like an insurance policy that you sort of think, oh, God loves me. He's good. Everything's going to be okay. But we don't seem to take note of God's warnings in the same way that we notice his love. Romans 1 tells us that we are without an excuse, that all creation is aware of our Creator. I mean, you look outside and see the stars in the heavens that God set in place. We have been formed by a miraculous, wonder-working God. If we were any closer to the sun as a planet, we would all be incinerated. If we were any further away, we would all freeze. Everything has been created and put in order by a loving God. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says these words, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws." A few weeks ago, I talked about one of the scariest verses in the Bible. I think, to be honest, that probably takes the cake. We need to know the God of creation. We need to know this Jesus and who he really is. We need to understand what it means to put our faith in him, to know him as our Savior. You know, we live in an amazing world. You go outside and see the mountains. You see I think we've got some video, some oceans and the coral reef. Has anyone ever been to the Great Barrier Reef and snorkeled amongst the corals and the fish? And we live in an amazing world with beautiful animals and sunrises and sunsets and beautiful vistas and animals. And we live in an amazing world. And whenever I get out for a bike ride or get out into God's creation and see the beauty of what he's made, it just stirs me to want to worship him. It is beautiful. It's amazing. It's wonderful. But sadly, we also see wars and anxiety and abuse and power struggles and stress and brokenness in this beautiful world that God has created. Church, brokenness is everywhere, and the Bible says it's because of sin. Let me read Romans chapter 8, verse 19. It says, "For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay." Doesn't that sound amazing? "For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to this present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory. for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Through all the breakthroughs in science and technology and medicine over hundreds and thousands of years of people trying to make the world a better place, in a sense, nothing has changed. We're still so selfish. The world is still so broken, and we cannot change ourselves. As people, we are all born into sin, and I'm not criticizing our children at all, but the moment they're born, they sin. We sin. We're born into it, and we cannot change ourselves. I know we've got the kids in with us this morning. There's no CFC Kids program today. I wonder, has anyone ever done an Easter egg hunt outside and you've been outside a week or two later, or maybe a month or two later, and then you find that other egg that you missed? Has anyone ever found one of those eggs? And you know, there's ants crawling all around it, and there's been mice nibbling at it, and there's little bits of slime from the snails that have gone over it, and then you taste it, and it tastes kind of like, no, don't do that. Don't taste it. That's disgusting. Don't go there. Blah. My point is, everything breaks down over time. That is the world that we live in. Science calls it the second law of thermodynamics, that everything breaks down over time. You park a car outside and leave it there for 100 years, what do you come back to? A whole heap of plastic that won't ever go away. It rusts, it decays. And the reality that we don't like to think about as people is that we will all face death one day. We will all face our Creator in judgment. And we deserve his judgment for our sin. And we can't change that reality. But God has a rescue plan. And that is the joy, that is the hope, that is the message of the gospel, that God has a rescue plan in place. He has made a way for us to be saved. We're still going to face death, but we do not have to fear death because Jesus has made a way for us to have forgiveness and life with him, to be free from fear and of judgment in this life, and to be free from judgment and punishment in eternity. Jesus came and gave his life to be our Savior, to be your Savior. He doesn't want to just be an insurance policy that you kind of hope he might love you enough to think you're a good person. Jesus came to be our Savior. And as I said with the kids in this morning, I feel like the best way I can explain this morning is by talking about Toy Story 3. I love a good Toy Story quote or whatever. But if you haven't seen the movie, I apologize. I'm going to ruin it for you right now. Toy Story 3, you've got Buzz and Woody and all his friends. They're there in like the waste stuff all been shredded, and they've gone down the conveyor belt. They're in the furnace about to slide down into the fiery pit below. And Buzz and Woody, they're holding hands. They're gripping on. They know there's nothing that they can do. They're all in this together. They can't climb out. There's no one that can help them. They're all there together. But then suddenly a light from heaven shines down upon them. And the claw comes down from heaven. You know, those cool little green guys, they come. And this claw comes down from heaven above and reaches down and lifts them up out of the fiery furnace and sets them free. Praise be to God. There's nothing they could do, but someone came to rescue them. The claw from heaven. Jesus came to a world that cannot help themselves. We cannot rescue ourselves. Jesus came to rescue us. He came down from heaven, God in human flesh. He never sinned. He was never, his relationship with God was never broken, as our sin breaks our relationship with God. Then he gave his life as the sacrifice for us. He came into the fiery furnace and he faced death for us. But then he came alive again, proving to the world that he is greater, that he has overcome sin and death. He is the Savior of all the world, the promised one. That's the word Savior means, promised deliverer, the rescuer, the one who would save anyone who comes to him. Have a listen to 1 John chapter 1. And if you want to read some more of 1 John, we've got some little flyers up the back there. It's got the whole of the book of 1 John in there and some links to the Bible app and the Alpha course. If you want to find out more about Jesus, you can grab that and read some more about Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, I might as well read it off here. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1 to 4. It says, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen." Just let me pause for a moment. The writers of this saw Jesus with their own eyes. They saw him crucified. They saw him nailed to a cross and pierced with a spear. He was dead, but then he was alive. They saw this with their own eyes. They heard his voice. Well, let's keep reading. "We saw him with our own eyes, touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify, they declare to be true, and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us." In other words, they knew they were forgiven. They're going to spend eternity with him, and they want us to join them there also. "And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy." I wonder, what would it take for you to be walking down the street one day and to meet someone and say, "This person is life itself"? What would it take for you to meet a person and think, "This person is the source of life"? What would it take for you to meet someone and think, "I'm going to spend the rest of my life telling the world that this person has eternal life that they can give to anyone"? Because that's what he's saying. He's saying, we have seen this one and know that he is the source of life. Because we saw him crucified, then come alive. We've seen him heal the sick and raise the dead. He is God come to rescue humanity. That is what happened that we celebrate 2,000 years ago. Jesus' disciples had nothing to gain by saying these things. It wasn't like this was cool, they wanted to be cool and talk about it too. No, they were declaring something that they were persecuted for the rest of their lives for. They were told never to speak of these things again, and still they said, "This Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. He's the source of eternal life." They wrote about it. They told people about it for the rest of their lives, that this is the risen Jesus. Until nearly all of them were put to death for declaring that Jesus is the Savior. This wasn't a story they made up that was just a nice story to tell people. This was a story that they knew with all their heart is true. And that they wanted you to know that Jesus is the Savior for you, for any who will call on his name. I want to read one last verse from 1 John chapter 4. There it is. 1 John chapter 4 verse 14 says, "We have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." We have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. I wonder, have you seen it in your own life? Have you recognized that he is the Savior? That the Father, God, creator of heaven and earth, sent his Son, that Jesus came, God in human form, to be the rescuer, the Savior of all the world and for you. He said to the two criminals nailed to the crosses on either side of him, he said to the one who called on his name anyway, today you will be with me in paradise. There is no one too far from God to cry out to him and know that Jesus is your Savior. Three things I want to encourage you to do today. And they're three simple things, but the message of Easter, the message of the cross is simple. Number one, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus and see his love for you. Don't look at church. Don't look at this thing or that thing. Look at Jesus and the sacrifice he made for you. Look to Jesus. Let his love for you impact your heart, that he came and gave his life for you. He is the Savior of the world. He's the source of eternal life, and he cared enough about you and I to come and give his life as a sacrifice for our sin. Look to him and keep looking at him day by day. Look to him. And as you recognize his love for you, number two, I want to encourage you to just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you would so love me, that you would come and give your life on the cross for my sin. Thank God for his rescue plan, that he would come down from heaven and rescue us, that we could never earn God's forgiveness, but he came and made a way. The Bible tells us to recognize our sin and to repent, to turn away from our sin and come follow Jesus. And thirdly, testify. Sort of an old school word, testify. Declare to be true what you know is true. If you know that God has rescued you from sin, thank him for what he has done. Thank him for what he's done. Tell him that you are so grateful. God hears your prayers. He rejoices when his people cry out to him, when they talk to him. And testify. Tell other people about what Jesus has done for you and for them. Pray for people that they might know his love for them. Because we live in a broken, hurting world that needs to know his love. I'm going to invite the band to come, and we're going to have communion in just a moment. I want to invite the stewards to come and begin to hand out the biscuit and the cup. And if you're visiting with us today, we invite you to join us as we take communion. But we have a choice. My final point, we have a choice. Just like Buzz and Woody and all their friends, when the claw came down from the sky, they could have said, no way, we're not getting in that claw thing. That looks scary. I don't know where it's going to take me. I don't know what's going to happen if I get in that claw. But they chose to get in the claw and go wherever it took them. We have a choice. And it can be scary. You might be sitting there today thinking, I know what Jesus did, but I don't know if I want to trust him. I don't know where he's going to take me. If I say I'm going to give my life to him, what's that going to mean? But I want to encourage you this morning, as the stewards come with communion, if you could just hold it for a moment, guys, and I just want to say, before you hand it out, they're focused. This morning, as you receive the biscuit and the cup, I want to ask you not to receive it unless you're willing to say, I'm also giving you my life today, God. I receive your gift for me, but I'm giving you my life. Because as we eat and drink, we remember Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And we don't want to just do this in some ritualistic way. We want to remember that Jesus did this for our salvation. And as we receive the biscuit and the cup, this is not something we just do. This is a serious time of saying, God, we give you our lives. And kids, I want to ask that you do that too. This morning, if you want to receive the biscuit and the cup, I want you this morning to say to God, even as you pick up that, as they place it in your hand, just put out your hand if you're ready to receive and give him your life. And as you take that cup, I want to encourage you to say, God, I'm giving you my life. Thanks, guys. I'm going to let you do that now. Please join us this morning if you're ready to make that decision. I'm just going to ask the band to just play this song gently as we consider what he has done for us. Thank you, Jesus. Before the band continues to sing, I just want to encourage you, just maybe spend this moment just talking to God. Maybe you've never prayed in your life before. Prayer is simply talking to God, and God knows your thoughts. That's kind of scary, isn't it? But I just encourage you this morning, maybe you just want to close your eyes after you receive the biscuit and the cup and just say, God, thank you for what you have done for me. Thank you, Jesus, that even as you carried the cross to Golgotha, you did it for me. God, we want to say sorry for the times when we have contributed to the brokenness of this world, the times we've caused hurt and pain, that we've ignored your call for us to come follow you. God, we pray that you would forgive us our sins today and help us, Lord, not to sin against one another. We declare today, God, that our trust, our hope, our faith is in you, on your sacrifice for us. We thank you that on this Easter Sunday we celebrate that we have a risen Savior, that you have overcome sin and death, that anyone who calls on your name can be saved, will be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Just talk to him. Thank him for what he's done for you. Thank you, Jesus. Close our eyes in prayer for a moment. Lord God, we are so aware of our inadequacies, Lord, our mistakes, Lord God, I just thank you that even as we heard in the video earlier, your redemption for us can't be messed up in a day. God, we thank you that anyone who comes to you, you will not turn away. And we come to you today and we say thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. We declare, we testify that our trust is in you as we eat and drink together in Jesus' name. Let's eat and drink, celebrating and remembering all that he has done for us. Thank you, Lord. I want to say too that maybe for some of you here sitting here today, you've chosen not to take communion today. And I want to say that's totally okay, and this place is for you, because as we come together, we want faith to grow within us all. We all go through times of crisis of faith. We go through moments of doubting and questions and wondering, and that's okay. And I want to say thank you for being here, even though you're maybe not at that place yet. But I encourage you to continue to investigate who this Jesus is. Grab one of those little brochures. Find out who this Jesus is. Don't let that thing that you might think is a insurance policy that, yeah, God loves you, that's okay. Don't let it just be that. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you a Bible today. Don't let this offer of salvation go uninvestigated. Check it out. Investigate. Who is this Jesus? And I believe you will find the greatest joy of your life when you investigate it and discover that he is real, that he is true, and what he did is for you. The greatest thing in my life. I have an amazing family, amazing wife, but Jesus has done it all for us. We're going to finish with one last song this morning. And I pray that you've had a great time this morning. And we're going to stand and we're going to celebrate as we thank God for all that he has done for us this morning. Thanks, team.